We're going to turn back to Mark chapter 4 today for a few verses. Mark chapter 4. And we'll begin reading there with the 20th verse, which is where we were actually last Lord's Day. And we're not going to really go back over that verse. But we see that there is a connection with the parable that Jesus spoke of the sower and the four kinds of ground. And this is the fourth type of soil spoken of as Christ explains it to his disciples. Notice verse 20 of Mark chapter 4. Let us give our attention to God's holy word. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? For there's nothing hid which shall not be manifested. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, shall more be given. I want you to notice very carefully that in that verse, the meeting out and the measuring has to do with hearing ourselves, our hearing. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. How utterly and eternally sad that word. Verse 25. As it closes, and that's where we close our reading for today. May the Lord, the Holy Spirit, come today and take up his holy word and cause us to understand what our Savior is really saying. Because no matter what you did with the parable of Christ speaking of the four types of soil, every one of us are one of those types. So no matter what you did with that, Jesus takes that today and he presses it even farther. So our text today, verses 21 through 25, we have, you know, considered at some length the four types of soil. And immediately, after explaining to the 12 and to the other disciples that were gathered with them, Christ goes on to apply the teaching of the sower more deeply to them. And I want you to notice what he literally says in verse 21. It's not a candle. Okay. Is a lamp. Or is a... No, actually, it has the definite article in the Greek text. Is the lamp. Is the light. And we already read John this morning, so we know that the light is the Lord Jesus Christ. Is the light come? This verb can be translated come or brought. Is the light come to be put under a bushel? Or under a bed? And not rather to be set up on the lampstand? Lifted up this light, Christ. Yes. Jesus said in Matthew 5:15, that the lighter of the lamp is to be put on the lampstand so that all in the house can be benefited by the light. There are just four things I want us to see from these five verses. Four things from five verses. First of all, verse 21, God's Word must not be hidden. And you know the bad tendency we have is to hide it from ourselves. That's the great danger Christ is pointing out here. Don't put a bushel in your life over the light of Christ. In your life, do not put the light of Christ under your bed to hide it. Although God sovereignly withholds His saving light and His saving Word from some of His enemies, that is His work and not ours. Look back at verse 11. Verses 11 and 12 of this same chapter. And He said unto them, unto you, people, it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, or outside the circle, all these things are done in parables. Why? Verse 12. That seeing they may see and not perceive. And hearing they may hear and not understand. Lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. The Lord, in His sovereign withholding of the light of salvation from some of His enemies, that is His right. But He tells us that we are not to hide the light. That's not our job. That's His. It's our job to hold up the light. The clear command is given to us in Matthew 5:16. You know it well. Let your light so shine. Now what does that word so shine mean? It means to shine in this way. Let your light shine in this way that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It is our job to be holding up the light as Christians. Now, if you see the light of the true saving gospel, you can rejoice. Because a lot of people will never see the true saving light of the gospel. And they will be left all alone in the darkness to perish. The Jewish priests and the rabbis and the scribes had been holding God's Word in the darkness, hiding it for centuries. They had been hiding it under human traditions, under their hypocrisy, and under the doctrines of men. The light of Christ and the gospel are to be shown, to be openly manifested, not only to others, but let me say today, the light is especially to be shown in our own hearts for our own good, for our growth, and to make us a blessing. A basket or a bushel. Now, what is a basket or a bushel for? You say, well, that was for the trash. You will. Okay. A basket or a bushel in biblical times were units of measure, and we're told in the book of Deuteronomy, you weren't to make a smaller one to cheat people. So the bushel that Christ is speaking of has to do with commerce and business. What is being said? We must not let our business come between us and the Lord. We must constantly give Christ preeminence in our thinking, in our speaking, and in our every endeavor in our business. Now, we're not to hide the light or the lamp under a bushel, nor are we to hide it under a bed. The cares of the home, domestic things, comforts and ease must not come between the believer and shining forth God's light into this dark world. the light must be lifted up. It must be exalted and held forth to the lost and dying world as the Word of life, Philippians 2:16. Now that's verse 21. You see that? He said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? I tell you, the light came into this world not to be hidden under a bushel or under a bed, but to be set up on the lampstand of our lives. If you see there in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the lampstand has to do with the churches. And the church are made up of Christian people. So Christ has got to be shining in the lampstand of our lives, not hidden under our bed or under a bushel. So that's the first thing. Don't hide the light. Secondly, every hidden thing is going to be uncovered. That's what he's saying here in verse 22. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. Manifested means to show or to reveal. Neither was anything kept secret, but that should come abroad. So I'm saying the second point here in verse 22 is that every hidden thing is going to be uncovered. If you are not shining forth the true light by your life and by your words, then you are hiding that light. And it's that light that really matters. By your life, you're just covering it up. Christ said it clearly in Matthew 12, verse 30. He said, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Well, you might think, well, you're just kind of going along, maybe somewhat neutral, just living your life. Well, Christ declares, there is no neutrality. Unless you are shining the true light with your life, you are against Christ. Rather than gathering with Him and for Him, you are scattering and wasting your life. There's no neutrality. Everything that somebody tries to hide, or maybe to hide from God, or hide from a true life for Christ, it's all going to come out. You may be deceiving yourself, but that self-deceiving will not last forever. Notice verse 22, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. There it is. There's a day coming when all your secrets, as it says in the rest of the verse, anything kept secret, but that should come abroad. There's a day coming when all your secrets will come abroad, be manifested, be shown to you, and will be shown to everyone else. Wow. The ancient Greek maxim was so important. Know thyself. They had it inscribed on their temples, and many of their well-known philosophers were always saying this, quoting this, know thyself. But you know, we got a problem with that. As important and as applicable as it is, we must understand, as Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that is Jeremiah 17:9. Since only God can fully know our heart, we need to pray like Isaac Watts did in one of his hymns. I love Isaac Watts' hymns. I don't like people saying bad things about him. I love Isaac Watts and his hymns. Isaac Watts prayed in one of his hymns these words. He said, my God, permit me not to be a stranger to myself and to thee. Wow. Do you hear what Watts is saying? My God, permit me not to be a stranger to myself and thee. You know, we can be so hidden from ourselves. So I call on you today to seriously meditate on Christ's words in verse 22. All of the secrets are going to come out. Anything that's hidden is going to be revealed one day. That's scary and that's shocking. But there's one way to get over it. There's only one way to get rid of all your dirty secrets and embarrassing sins before that awful day of revealing takes place. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, that is homologeo. That means I'm going to say the same thing that God says about my sin. What does God say about my sins? He says they're filthy, they're abomination, they're wickedness, they're law-breaking. And when I admit and confess that my sin is just as bad as God says it is, He says that He is faithful and just or righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We read that last night in our family devotions. What a blessing to know that all of our sins are forgiven. But that's not too good to be true. Because even that same gospel was preached in the Old Testament. Micah chapter 7 verse 9. He said He will cast all the sins of His forgiven people into the depths of the sea. Now how deep is that? You know, the Atlantic Ocean, if you get the deepest part, it's just approximately 5 miles down. But if you go to the Pacific Ocean, out there near the islands in the South Pacific, the Mariana Trench, as it's called, out there, the Pacific Ocean is nearly 7 miles deep. To the bottom there, down there under those heavy, vast waters. What does the Lord say He will do with our sins? He not only forgives them, but He casts them into the depths of the sea, down in the deepest part. And you know, there, no human could go down unshielded, even with the technology of 2020, have to be inside something because he would be crushed to death by the weight of the water and the pressure from above. So our sins, forgiven by Christ's blood, will never be able to rise up from such a depth to accuse us anymore before Almighty God. Am I shaken? Am I scared to death because the judgment day's coming? All my secret sins have been forgiven by Jesus. All of those filthy, embarrassing things are under the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. So I don't have to worry about it. Because He says in verse 22, there's nothing hidden that shall not be manifested. It's going to come out. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. There it is. Our Lord was pressing this upon His hearers in the parable of the sower and in these 5 verses of our text. He's pressing the eternally serious nature of our hearing the Word of God. What we are doing today is eternally serious. It would be eternally serious not to even be hearing the Word of God because that's worse than even the wayside hearer. There's no hope for them. But we thank God that we have the privilege of hearing. But we must understand the eternally serious nature of hearing the Word of God. Verse 23. You see it there. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And He said unto them, take heed what ye hear. Take heed what ye hear. This is so important. He's saying, take heed what you hear. The Savior's words in verse 23, as I told you before, as we were reading in the book of the Revelation, occur so often that people tend to overlook them, take them for granted. These are some of the most searching and serious words in the whole New Testament. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Because they're always spoken right out of the mouth of the living Christ. On more than a dozen different occasions, Christ spoke these words. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus warns of the danger every time He said those words. It had to do with whether the hearer would end up in heaven or in hell. Along with these grave and sobering words, Jesus again warns of danger in verse 24. He says, take heed what you hear. Carefully watch your hearing. It is blepete. You Greek students know it. See to it
what you're hearing.
See what you're hearing. Look at what you're hearing. Again, in Luke 8:18, Christ warned, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." Christ is warning of two things. He's warning of what you hear and how you hear. We are warned of false teachers, and they're deceiving over and over by Christ, that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. Matthew 24:24. We had a knock at the door yesterday morning. I think my neighbors did too. Van pulled up. Gentleman driving. Two ladies got out. One came to our door. One went to the Yarborough's door. And I stepped out on the porch. And the woman didn't know really what to think about that. You know, I got out there. And she said, "How are you?" I said, "Evil." And she looked at me. I said, "Remember what Jesus said?" And I quoted her scripture. And had the opportunity to preach to these JWs. So we are warned that there's some things we're not to hear. We're not to listen to deceivers. We're not to listen to false prophets. We're commanded in Proverbs 19:27, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge." And you know, there's some great theologians that spent years teaching the Word of God. I think of one in Holland and one in up in Indiana, and later teaching at Westminster Seminary. And I think this is such a dangerous thing. When men immerse themselves in studying unbelieving theology in order to refute it, there's the grave danger of some of that attaching to them. Maybe even some of the modes of thinking in a perverted way, that because the wise man in Proverbs says by the Holy Spirit, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge." So how are we to take heed how we hear? Spurgeon gave two or three things. I think they're very good. I had to alliterate them a little better than he did, so imagine that. So there are three ways that we need to hear. We need to hear attentively, we need to hear affectionately, and we need to hear applicatively. First of all, we need to hear attentively. We need to listen carefully, with diligent attention, with all readiness of mind, as the Bereans did in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, so that with discerning attention, we receive the truth of God's Word and its blessing. We are to listen, we are to hear attentively, and then we are to hear affectionately. We are to receive it with faith and love, treasuring it in our heart, because it's the very Word of the living eternal God. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. We are to desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. We are to receive God's Word reverently with real affection. Receiving God's Word attentively and affectionately. And then thirdly, applicatively. Hearing the Word with a desire to practice it in our lives, applying its precepts to obedience so that we may profit from it in bringing forth fruit. James chapter 1, verse 21, "Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul." Now, we're at our last point now. We must not hide or obscure God's word. That was the first one. Secondly, because every hidden thing will be uncovered. We just covered the third thing, so that we must carefully hear the Word. Finally, those that receive and use the Word rightly will be blessed with more light. Those who receive the Word rightly and use it will be granted more and more light. That's what verses 24b and verse 25 teach us. Here it is. Take heed. He said unto them, "Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you." And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. Even those ears that have been spiritually opened by the grace of God still need to take heed to their hearing. What does he say here? With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. Verse 24. What does that mean? Well, I believe the rest of verse 24 explains the meaning. The rest of verse 24 simply says, and unto you that hear, that means really hearing, shall more be given. Those that seriously take heed to what and how they hear and use what they receive for themselves and for others shall be blessed with more and abundant spiritual light. Unto you that hear shall more be given, we are told in verse 25. For he that hath, to him shall be given. The blessings of abundant spiritual light, knowledge, shall be increasingly given to those whose hearts and ears have been opened to receive the word and to practice it in their lives. But we come to the sad sequel. The conclusion comes at the end of verse 25. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Oh, how horrible. The person that is not honestly and earnestly desiring to hear the truth of the Lord and from the Lord will lose everything. Do you see that awful truth? There it is. The person that is not honestly and earnestly desiring to hear the truth of the Lord and to hear from the Lord will ultimately lose everything. From such a hearer shall be stripped away even what he seems to have. And what he seems to know. Superficial acquaintance with spiritual matters and shallow knowledge of God will be taken away. It will be taken away from the careless or the partial hearer. You know, we have that same kind of experience in our everyday lives. We know for real that those of us who only learned to play a few simple songs on the piano 50 years ago, but did not go on to master the subject, did not go on to master the instrument, we now have discovered that the little skill that we once had has entirely vanished. You know that. So the Lord is saying the same thing is true in the spiritual realm. If you do not have a real knowledge of God, then that little superficial acquaintance you have will all be ultimately stripped away. Oh, how eternally ruinous it will be for those who have only acquired at best a superficial acquaintance with God. We have seen our Lord dealing very pointedly with our hearing of His Word. Our Savior, the light of the world, did not come to be dimmed by your covering Him up with a bushel of your business or to be put under your bed, to be under or subservient to your comforts and your convenience. There is no room for pretense before the living God. You can't hide from Him. All your secrets must come out. You can't cover up. Because Christ will one day blow all your cover and you will be seen for exactly what you are before everyone's eyes. Over 100 years ago, Thomas Edwards, a Scottish entomologist, that means he studied insects, a Scottish entomologist was out on a beautiful day trying to gather all kinds of insects, live specimens of various kinds. He had put on his old coat that had many, many pockets in it, and each of those pockets had in it a little cardboard box, something like a little bitty matchbox to put the insects in. And as he was going about taking each of these boxes and filling it with an insect and then sticking it in his pocket for later study. He got all his pockets filled with all these boxes of insects and returning toward his laboratory loaded with these many treasures. Suddenly a heavy thunderstorm raced over the mountains and rain began to come down in sheets upon him and lightning flashed. He was so frightened that he was going to be killed in that thunderstorm. He was quickly drenched and wet to the skin. But spying a cottage by the roadside, he hastened to the door, knocking at the door. He was so relieved to be granted admittance, and he asked the family if he could shelter while the storm passed. Well, what a delight it was when he was invited in and he saw a roaring fire on the hearth. So that shivering scientist went over very near to the fire. The heat felt so good to his chilled body. But suddenly, the lady of the house rose and she screamed and she began chasing him around the house with a broom and swatting him all the way out the door, sending him forth again into the terrible storm. He was so stunned, he got outside. Why was he treated so cruelly? And then he looked at himself and suddenly discovered that his clothes were covered from head to toe with insects. The soaking rain had melted the boxes and the insects had come out to dry and to enjoy the warmth of the fire. But you know, far more terrible will be the unveiling on the day of judgment when all the secret sins come out into the open. And the mere profession of Christianity will then prove totally insufficient to deliver the soul from the fierce storm of the wrath of God. Let us pray together. We thank Thee, Lord Jesus Christ, that Thou hast not left us in doubt. But Thy teaching is so deep and so searching. We thank Thee, O Lord. And we pray, O God, that Thou wilt give us the hearts of the good ground, that we would seek Thy truth with that affectionate desire, that we will take Thy word attentively and endeavor by the grace of God to see our lives impacted by Thy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.